Hey y'all, it's Ashley. I hope this update finds you hydrated and rested and full of joy. Since our previous touch base last year, there's been a lot of moving things, a lot of moving and shaking at the guild, and it's a really exciting time. You know, over the past year, I have learned so much about what it means to be a quote equity officer, you know, a position that many nonprofits are making. On their journey to be anti-racist. This blog post, it's accompanied by a virtual portal cafe where I hope we can harvest stories together. But this blog post right now, I want to discuss some new hiring practices that we've been creating here at the Guild and really reflecting on as staff. There's so much deep, intentional, human-centered work to be done when starting the process of bringing someone new into the organization. And I think a hiring process requires full focus and dedication and humanity. So I wanted to share a few highlights, some few new practices that I have really fallen in love with that I hope that we can marinate on at the Portal Cafe. One, I think sharing the job description with staff first is vitally important. Every staff member has needs and desires when adding a plus one to the team. All staff, even the operations person who may only work with this open position 3 to 4 times a year, they all need to see and give thought to the job description before you post it. The Guild staff, they have contributed amazing thoughts during our past 2 hires that have really helped me. And they're part of my community of practice, right? They provide multiple lenses in crafting policy and practice. And so all staff are equally important. And sharing full transparency also allows conversations to arise that may have been causing tension, such as compensation inequities, causing resentment or overlapping role responsibilities, causing confusion. If your current policy is to only include the executive director and direct supervisors, like ours previously was, we need to ask ourselves why. I think more can be gained from creating a collective excitement around a shared open position than moving from a fear of conflict, because tension may arise. The second thing is making a timeline. You know, one of the positive points of feedback we've received from applicants was including a detailed timeline and sticking to it. And if we desire to move at the speed of relationship building and not paternalism and urgency, then a timeline is a must tool for accountability. Having a timeline allowed me to see where we first left no time to rest and breathe in the process. We were able to talk about that and rework until we felt more air and movement throughout the timelined process. And then I think sharing it, the timeline as part of the job posting, allowed applicants to feel that their time was being valued. It gave them space to plan accordingly, to also show up rested. And if the timeline is also really wildly long, we need to pay people for their time. I'm going to tell you, we all need to pay people for their time, but that's a topic of its own blog post of paying people for their interviewing time. The third thing is including all staff in the interview. Again, so vitally important. As an applicant in previous positions, it has always confused me why the final interview would be just with the executive director or just with the direct supervisor and not the whole team. I mean, when a friend calls me and invites me to a cookout, I'm always like, who's all gonna be there? Like, I need to know who's at the table. If we believe that interviewing is a two-way street, then of course an applicant should see who's all at the dinner table. I mean, having an interview where everyone is in the room, it was such a delightful experience. Again, we're all remote, we're all on Zoom, but seeing all of our faces, it really gave a feeling, you could feel the group dynamic. I also recommend a debrief space with staff afterwards. Again, it's helpful to have multiple lenses to catch things that I might not have as the deputy director of HR, and having, again, that community of practice is helpful. The last thing I'll say is to reciprocate energy. Again, so vital. In our last application for the open position of development strategist, we asked one question to be answered, no cover letter, no letter of recommendation, just a resume, and to answer one question, which sounds really simple, but it's not. I mean, people took time. They were reflecting, they were writing, some sent video submissions, audio submissions, and that takes so much time. And because of this, I felt like I needed to, through a human-centered lens, I needed to spend the same amount of time responding to each and every applicant. And after each round, I went back to the original email and I responded. I didn't ghost anyone. I used their names and not an auto name plug and play. I did not write one massive email, right, of no thanks email, BCCing everyone. In my individual responses, I did copy and paste some general sentences from a template that I wrote, but I did dedicate myself to including at least one sentence which shared some of the reasoning for our decision. I also even used emojis. And I set boundaries with my colleagues to give myself time on my calendar to be more human and respond accordingly. I mean, we all have created breath and space when applying for what feels like a 70-page NEA grant. I mean, the least we could do is do the same for people. Some of the responses I wanted to share with you to our new human-centered practices. So many responses that were delightful, but I'll share a couple. I'll share three. One said, "Hi, Ashley. Thanks for the note. I just want to let you know that this is the best, quote, rejection letter I've ever received. Bravo. Between the thoughtfulness of this correspondence to what I'm guessing is all 140 applicants, in addition to how awesome the organization sounds to work for based on the job description, I think your final candidate is one lucky person. I mean, I am sending you a thank you note for not giving me the job, LOL. I just want like to call out kindness and good work when I see it. Thanks again." Another one, "Thank you, Ashley. Your response and feedback is much appreciated. It certainly provides helpful context of which I wish more organizations would model after during the hiring process. Best wishes." And lastly, "I greatly appreciate you letting me know. While I am saddened that I was not able to move forward with this, I was moved by your organization's commitment to transformation with the intention of being in true alignment with the values and mission y'all adhere to. And I love to keep in touch somehow. I genuinely wish that there were more organizations that would be willing to do the same, as I have seen organizations value themselves over the work to the point that they will sacrifice everything, staff to community members, to not seriously change the organization, to address desperately necessary internal work." Y'all, these are highlights of our new process. It is just the beginning, but I am feeling so full and nourished. And I'm curious if any of you have thoughts on these or have other practices that I haven't mentioned. Some lingering questions that I'd love to bring up in our portal cafe together or get an email from you or a voice memo is, how much and when do we start compensating interviewees? When and how do we involve the board? Do we maintain relationships with final candidates? How do we do that? Where are we posting the job to ensure a diverse pool of candidates? Lots of questions. I hope that you join me at the upcoming Portal Cafe so we can continue this discussion together. Until then, again, stay hydrated and go find joy and put your bare feet on the earth and go say hello to a bee. Much love.